This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You ever wonder if it's all in your head? I mean, most of us have had that moment in the dark where we see something out of the corner of our eye, a shadow maybe. We shake it off, tell ourselves it's nothing. But what if you couldn't shake it off? What if the shadows stuck around? What if they stared back at you? Imagine this. You're lying in bed, drifting between sleep and waking when you feel it, eyes on you. You open your eyes and there in the corner of the room are two glowing eyes, just watching. You don't move. You can't move because deep down you know that whatever those eyes belong to, it's not human. Now, what do you do when that's not a one-time thing? When night after night, something is there standing at the foot of your bed, moving closer, waiting, and even worse, what do you do when your dog, the one creature you expect to sense danger, doesn't even notice? Now let's talk about beds shaking for a second, not the kind caused by earthquakes or a restless dog jumping on it. No, I'm talking about something else. Picture it. You're wide awake, your bed starts to shake, but your dog is asleep on the floor, oblivious, and it keeps shaking. Like something unseen is trying to get your attention. You check, you listen, but nothing's there. At least, nothing you can see. And let's not forget the shadow figures. Oh yeah, those show up too, but it's not always in the middle of the night. No, sometimes it's broad daylight. You wake up, expecting to see a familiar face, only to realize the dark figure standing over you is no one you know. That's when the screaming starts. So what do? Do you question your sanity? Do you start talking to the walls, demanding whatever's there show itself? And if something finally does, a white head peeking through the wall or a water bottle slamming over, do you run or do you stick around waiting for more? This is where things get interesting. What happens when you stop being scared and start asking questions? And better yet, what do when someone else finally sees it too? Because once someone else sees what you see, it's no longer just in your head, is it? Dear Tony, I've listened to your show for a while now, and I've always been fascinated by the stories people share. But honestly, I never thought I'd have one of my own to tell. I'm still not sure what I experienced, and the skeptic in me keeps questioning it. But after years of strange encounters, I figured it's about time I put it out there, especially since someone else saw what I saw in the end. This all started for me back in 1996, but maybe it goes back even further. Growing up, there were a few weird things that happened at my grandparents' house. When I was five, I remember asking who the man in Grandma's room was. Of course, no one else saw him, and when they checked the house, there was no one there. Childhood imagination? Maybe. Then, years later, my mom told me about a night she woke up to see a shadow of a man standing in her bedroom doorway. She thought it was my grandfather and asked, "Dad, is that you?" But when her sister, who was in the room, screamed, the shadow disappeared. Again, no one was in the house. There were other little things, too, a box moving by itself on the kitchen table, my great-grandmother seeing a strange yellow glow in the hallway. All of this stuck with me. But I didn't think too much about it. Not until the experiences started happening to me. Fast forward to 1996. I was in a bad place dealing with a breakup, and I guess I was searching for answers anywhere I could find them. I got into some new age stuff. A friend had me use one of those crystals on a string, the kind that moves in a circular pattern when you ask it questions. To this day, I don't know what I think about it, but looking back, I wonder if messing around with that kind of thing opened a door I wasn't ready for. Because after that, strange things started happening to me, no matter where I lived. The first big one? I was having this nightmare where I was being strangled. It felt so real. I woke up in a panic, but that's when it got even weirder. In the upper corner of my room, about 15 feet away, I saw two eyes. Just eyes. They were glowing, staring right at me. I didn't move. I couldn't. I just lay there, frozen, watching them watch me. They stayed there for what felt like forever, probably only 5 or 10 seconds in reality. But when you're lying in bed, in the dark, staring at something that shouldn't be there, time stretches. I remember trying to rationalize it later. Maybe it was a trick of the light. Maybe I wasn't fully awake. But deep down, I knew that wasn't it. The eyes were real, and they were looking right at me. Then there was the bed shaking incident. This one still freaks me out when I think about it. I was asleep and woke up to my bed shaking, like someone was physically shaking the mattress. At first, I thought maybe it was my dog, even though he didn't sleep on the bed with me. I reached out to feel for him, but he was lying on the floor, nowhere near the bed, and he wasn't reacting to anything. The bed kept shaking, and I just lay there waiting for it to stop. Eventually it did, but the fact that my dog wasn't fazed by any of it, that's what bothered me the most. If it had been something real, you'd think he'd notice, right? After that, things seemed to ramp up. I'd wake up in the middle of the night with my heart racing, every hair on my body standing on end. I'd get this overwhelming sense that something was in the room with me, but I didn't want to open my eyes. I was too scared to see what might be there. But when I did open my eyes, it was always the same. Shadows. Not just the typical dark shapes you'd expect in a room at night. These were different. They had form, like people. Sometimes they looked like the shadowy figures from The Grudge 2. Other times it was more of a distortion, like in Predator when the alien is camouflaged. One night I saw something even stranger. At the foot of my bed was a small red thing. It didn't look like a person, but it was definitely something. I sat up, rubbed my eyes, thinking maybe I was still dreaming, but it was still there. It didn't move. It just stood at the foot of the bed, watching. I didn't know what to do, so I slowly started to get out of bed, trying not to make any sudden movements. But as soon as I did, the red figure disappeared, gone, just like that. I tried to brush these things off, but they kept happening. Always in the middle of the night, always in a dark room, and my dog never reacted. I started to convince myself that maybe I was just seeing things. Maybe it was all in my head. But then something happened in broad daylight. I was working a third shift job at the time, so I'd sleep during the day. One morning around 11 a.m., I woke up to see a shadow standing over my bed. For a split second, I thought it was my cousin. But when I realized it wasn't, I screamed. I'm not proud of it, but I screamed like a little girl. As soon as I did, the shadow vanished. That one really shook me. Because it wasn't the middle of the night. It wasn't dark. The sun was shining through the window, and I was fully awake. And yet there it was, this dark, human-shaped figure standing over me. There's one other thing I should mention. In 2004, my dog died of cancer. Toward the end, he had a very distinct smell, the kind that lingers when an animal is sick. A few months after he passed, I swear I smelled that same smell twice when I walked into my room. It was brief, just a whiff, but enough to stop me in my tracks. I also thought I felt him walking across the bed one night, but again, I convinced myself I was just imagining it. Grief plays tricks on you, right? After all the strange things that had happened over the years, I was starting to think I'd never really know what was going on. Sure, I'd had plenty of weird experiences, things that shook me up, made me question what I believed, but I could never be sure. It was always just me, alone in the dark, convincing myself that I was seeing things or that it was all in my head. That's how it was until 2007, when everything changed. By then, I had grown so used to these experiences that they almost felt like a part of life, just another thing I had to deal with. Shadows in the night, things moving in the corner of my eye, waking up with that cold, prickling feeling like something was watching me. It was always there, but it was like background noise at that point. I didn't know if it would ever stop, but I learned to live with it. And then came the white head. This happened when I was visiting a girl I was seeing at the time. We were at her apartment in Oak Park, Illinois, just hanging out and watching a movie. Nothing special, just a quiet evening. We were lying on the couch, me on one end, her on the other, the TV right in front of us. To the left of the TV was a wall, and maybe 2 or 3 feet from the television, it happened. I saw something move out of the corner of my eye, so I turned my head to look, and there it was, a white head slowly emerging from the wall. It was like someone was looking through a window into the room, only there was no window, just solid wall. The head wasn't fully human, though. I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, but it didn't have the features you'd expect from a person. Just this pale white head coming out of the wall, and then just as slowly, it went back in, like it had never been there. I sat up, my heart racing, trying to convince myself that I didn't just see that. I shook my head, rubbed my eyes, the usual I'm losing it routine. But before I could say anything, the girl spoke. You saw that too? I stared at her almost in disbelief. What do you mean? The white face, it came out of the wall and then went back in. Tony, I couldn't believe it. After years of seeing things, being woken up in the night, convincing myself that it was all in my head, someone else finally saw it. She saw what I saw. The validation hit me like a ton of bricks. I wasn't crazy. This wasn't just my imagination playing tricks on me. There was something there. I got excited. Probably more excited than I should have been, considering what we just witnessed. But it felt like a breakthrough, like I finally had proof. Someone else had experienced it with me, and that changed everything. Now, the girl wasn't thrilled about this revelation. She was scared. I think she had always been a little skeptical about my stories, but after that night, she was a believer. But me? I wanted more. For the first time, I wasn't scared. I wanted answers. So I did what anyone in my situation would do. I started talking to it. Yep. I sat there in her apartment and started asking the thing to show itself again. I remember sitting there saying things like, if you're really here, show yourself, knock something over, turn off the lights, do something. The girl was not happy with this, to say the least. She kept telling me to stop, that she didn't want to mess with whatever it was, but I couldn't help myself. After years of wondering, I wanted a sign, something concrete. For about 10 or 15 minutes, I kept pushing, asking it to show itself. There was a half-full water bottle sitting in the middle of the coffee table. I remember saying, knock over the bottle, show us you're really here. The first time I said it, nothing happened. The second time, nothing. But the third time, the bottle slammed over hard. It didn't tip gently or wobble. It was like someone had hit it, pushed it over with force. Both of us jumped, staring at the bottle in disbelief. I can still see the look on her face. Complete shock. She turned on all the lights in the apartment, and that was the end of our little experiment. She didn't want to communicate with whatever was in the apartment, and honestly, after the bottle fell, I wasn't so sure I did either. There was something in that room with us, and it was real. After that night, things changed. The girl moved out of that apartment about a month later. She told me it wasn't because of the ghost, but I think that experience spooked her more than she let on. As for me, that was the last significant encounter I ever had. I don't know why, but after years of being woken up in the middle of the night, seeing things, and feeling like I wasn't alone, it all just stopped. It's been years now, and I haven't had a single experience since. I even live in a house where two people have died, and I haven't seen or heard anything. It's like whatever was following me around all those years decided to leave me alone, or maybe I lost the ability to see it. I don't know. Part of me still wonders what it all was. Did I somehow open a door to the paranormal when I was messing around with that crystal back in the 90s? Or was it always there waiting for me to notice it? I'll never know for sure. But after years of seeing things, and that one night where someone else saw it too, I can't just write it off as imagination. So, what do you think, Tony? Is there something out there lurking in the shadows, waiting for the right person to see it? Or did I just get lucky or unlucky enough to catch glimpses of something we're not supposed to understand? Thanks for listening. You know, it's stories like this one that really make you wonder where the line is between what's real and what's imagined. We all have moments where we see something that makes us do a double take, a shadow, a light flickering, something just on the edge of our vision. Most of the time, we chalk it up to a trick of the light, maybe a reflection, Maybe our minds playing games. But what happens when that thing you see looks right back at you? What happens when you're not the only one who sees it? This story isn't just about strange shadows or unexplained noises. It's about validation. For years, this guy dealt with all sorts of odd, unsettling experiences. Eyes watching him from the corner of a room, beds shaking without reason, figures standing at the foot of his bed. And he did what any rational person would do. He doubted himself. He tried to explain it away. After all, how could he believe it when no one else could see it? And when the dog, the one creature that's supposed to have that sixth sense, couldn't care less? That's enough to make anyone second-guess their sanity. But then we get to the Whitehead. Now that's where things take a real turn, isn't it? You've spent years thinking it's all in your head, and then someone else, right there next to you, sees the exact same thing. There's no brushing that off. When someone else shares the experience with you, it stops being just a weird little blip in your mind and becomes something very real. Two people seeing the same thing at the same time. That's not something you can easily write off. The skeptic in me wants to break it down. Maybe it was a reflection on the wall, a trick of the light, a case of suggestibility. But let's be honest here, a white head coming out of a wall, both of them seeing it. That's no ordinary hallucination. And when you start calling out to it, asking it to show itself, and it actually responds, when that water bottle slams over after you've asked it to move, well, now we're in a whole new territory, and the girl who lived there moved out not long after. Sure, she said it wasn't because of the ghost, but I think we all know better. Sometimes you don't need to believe in something to be afraid of it. And who could blame her? If I saw a white head coming out of my wall, I'd be packing up too. So what's going on here? Did our storyteller open a door back in the 90s when he started dabbling in New Age stuff? Crystals, psychics, Ouija boards, they all have a long history of being connected to the paranormal, of opening pathways to things we can't always see. And once that door is open, who knows what might come through? Maybe these entities were always there, waiting for someone sensitive enough to notice. Or maybe he just happened to be in the right or wrong place at the right time. But there's another angle we can't ignore. Could it all have been psychological? Long-term stress, depression from a breakup, mind-seeking answers in a vulnerable state? Those are all factors that can make someone more susceptible to experiencing the paranormal. Sometimes our brains fill in the gaps when we're emotionally raw, making sense of things that don't quite add up. But here's the thing. When someone else sees what you're seeing, when they validate the experience, that's when things get tricky. It's no longer just in your head. Something is happening. Let's not forget the final twist in this story. After years of shadow figures, glowing eyes, and unseen forces, it all stops. Just like that. The minute he shares the experience with someone else, when it's no longer just his burden to carry, it all goes away. No more strange shadows, no more moving objects, no more feelings of being watched. It's as if, by finally being believed, the haunting ended. Maybe whatever was following him had gotten what it needed, a witness, or maybe once he stopped being afraid, it didn't have the same power over him anymore. At the end of the day, we're left with more questions than answers.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.